What's your favorite scary movie?
Welcome to 13 Degrees of Screams,
where we watch and dissect your favorite spooky movies.
I'm your host, Alex.
And Stephanie.
And this is a mostly horror podcast.
This week, we hide in a British pub to avoid some zombies in Shaun of the Dead.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Have you seen Shaun of the Dead before we watched it for the podcast?
I have. It's my husband's favorite.
Which is why we're doing it, I think.
I believe he was the one that requested it.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead. Do you like it?
I do. I actually really like this one. And actually, I need to second this. This is Charlie's second favorite, and Hot Fuzz is his first. He would watch that, like, repeatedly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Hot Fuzz.
It's good. It's a murder mystery.
I had a funny, not funny, a stupid story. When Hot Fuzz first came out, I was not 18 yet, so I couldn't see it in the movie theater. However, my friends from school wanted to go, so the plan was to, like, buy a ticket for something else.
Oh, and
go see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't do it. I was a little baby boo-boo. I was like, you can't do that. That's against the law. Yeah, it's Hot Fuzz literally about police, isn't it?
Yeah
exactly.
So I was pretty much. British police.
I'm like, can't do that.
I mean, I guess it does have some gory deaths. So it was rated R when it came out?
I believe so, yeah.
Weird. I would not say that. I would say like PG-13, but with some like gruesome deaths.
All right, now I'm looking it up. Because maybe I made that up. It doesn't say. I think it's R. I'm fairly certain it's R because that was the reason I couldn't go see it. Yeah, rated R. Okay, yep. Yep,
All right.
I was correct. But we're talking about Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Not Hot Fuzz, but you like it?
I do. I think it's very funny. I like it. Do you like it?
I do. I think, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to the plot. I feel like the ending kind of fizzles out a little bit. I get a little like, once I get to the pub, I feel like we could be doing something else.
Yeah. They do a lot of work in the beginning, but then it seems a little lazier towards the end.
Yeah. That's my, like, only gripe. Otherwise, it's pretty good. I like it. It's funny. It's lighthearted.
Yeah, for sure.
In a sense.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of zombie movies where it's, like, meant to be funny.
Yeah, outside of, like, Zombieland.
And Warm Bodies. Actually, there's quite a few.
Yeah, actually, disregard what we just said.
Yeah, completely.
Actually, there's a ton.
Right. Redacted.
Redacted. We had this rated as a 4 on our scary scale. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I didn't know.
I don't know.
I feel like it could be easily in like the 1 to 3 category.
1 to 3. Well, so we have Jaws as 1.
Oh, all right. 2 we can't say because it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, it hasn't been done yet. 3 was Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, I guess. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense that it's here. Why not?
I could maybe switch Sleepy Hollow with it, but in any case, it's not really scary. Unless you're afraid of zombies. If you're not afraid of zombies, you're not going to be afraid of this movie.
Right.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. It's more of like a buddy comedy.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Although, you know what? I'll leave my thoughts for the plot.
Mm-hmm.
The one buddy in the duo irritated the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Do you disagree?
I guess we'll talk about it. Don't worry. We'll get there.
I guess we should probably talk about movie background.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
So Shaun of the Dead is a 2004 British romantic zombie comedy film directed by Edgar Wright. It said romantic, which I guess I could kind of see.
I mean, it's about his relationship in a way, but...
She's there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it overly romantic, but...
No.
But he also co-wrote the script with Simon Pegg. The movie stars Peg as Sean, a disheartened salesman from London who finds himself entangled with his loved ones in the midst of a zombie apocalypse. So this serves as the first in the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy, which you already mentioned, Hot Fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's
World's End. Have you seen that one?
I thought I did, but now I think it was at the end of the other one.
Oh.
Channing Tatum. Have you seen that one?
No. I don't like alien movies, so I haven't seen a lot of alien movies.
It wasn't an alien.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, not the one I'm thinking of.
Oh. Well, I think
don't know.
The World's End is an alien movie.
Oh, is it?
I'm pretty sure that's what Charlie said.
Yeah.
And the Cornetto is based on the ice cream, which I think is silly.
But yeah. Well, I think it's mentioned in every one of the movies, ice cream. I think that's just the...
Yeah,
they're not connected.
So.
They're just like loosely grouped together.
Yeah, Like, well, to Americanize it, it would be like if we did like a trilogy series of movies and based them off the colors of the drumstick label for ice cream. It's about the equivalent.
Is Cornetto, three flavors Cornetto, is that a British thing?
I believe so.
Or Italian? Or sounds like an Italian thing.
At least European.
It's not American.
Yeah, I don't think we have them here.
Is it just Neapolitan ice cream?
Oh, it might be. I was thinking like the colors of the wrapper, because I think it was like green, red, and blue on the wrapper he had when he gave it to him, because he asked for one in the movie.
I have no idea.
I just know it looks like a little drumstick.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, who knows? Anyway, it's about ice cream. It's not about ice cream, but there's ice cream involved.
It's about ice cream.
It's about ice cream! The zombies were formed from eating too much ice cream. That's what happened. That's the plot.
No, that's a true horror story.
Oh my God, it is. Right. Could you imagine not having ice cream ever again?
No.
I would just die. I would just turn into a zombie.
Mm-hmm. I would give in. I'd give in. I'd be one of the first.
Patient zero.
Yes.
So the inspiration for Shaun of the Dead stemmed from concepts Pegg and Wright had explored in their 1999 to 2001 television sitcom Spaced, particularly an episode featuring Pegg's character experiencing a zombie invasion hallucination. The film pays homage to George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead films, obviously, and principal photography spanned across London and Ealing Studios over 9 weeks between May and June of 2003.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. After premiering in London on March 29th in 2004, the film was theatrically released in the United Kingdom on April 9th in 2004 and in the United States on September 24th. Garnering critical acclaim and commercial success, it amassed $30 million worldwide on a budget of $6.1 million and earned two nominations at the British Academy Film Awards. Additionally, it secured the third position on Channel 4's list of the 50 greatest comedy films, swiftly gaining a dedicated following.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure, for sure.
Shaun of the Dead has a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes with a critical consensus that states, Shaun of the Dead cleverly balances scares and witty satire, making for a bloody good zombie movie with loads of wit.
Yeah, I think so.
You think? I just wholeheartedly
agree.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It is. It's fun. Would you like to get into the plot?
Yes.
So I didn't realize where they were, but apparently they were in the Crouch End of London.
What the hell's that?
It's an area of northern London. It's like a specific, like, borough or village-ish area, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. Just north of London.
I thought that said crotch at first. Yeah. And the crotch end of London. But
is it? Is it? Is it crouch or crouch?
No, it's crouch.
Okay.
You have it written as crouch. But
okay.
But
it was spelled that way.
You know I have a hard time reading. I have the reading comprehension of a three-year-old.
No.
So when I saw that, I think it said crotch.
The crotch end of London.
You know what, though? That sounds like a slang term.
Yeah, kind of.
For a place. I wouldn't be surprised.
They might actually call it.
I live in the crotch end of Ohio, so.
Yeah, we do.
So.
So in the crouch end area of London, 29-year-old electronics salesman Sean is disrespected by his younger colleagues, doesn't get along with his stepfather, Philip, and is dumped by his girlfriend, Liz, after he is unsuccessful in making decent plans for an anniversary date.
My dude.
He just can't get hit together.
Starting off really strong.
Yeah.
Just like, part of me felt bad, but also I'm like, dude, pull it together.
Right. Like, issues with Phil was like not bringing flowers to his mom on Mother's Day. That's an easy fix. Mm-hmm. Issue with his girlfriend was they go to the same place every night. All she wanted to do was go to a nice dinner and, somewhere you know, have else. Time by themselves without their friends. Couldn't do that. And he's, you know, older than his colleagues and they're all like 17-year-olds. So,
yeah,
obviously they don't get him.
Yeah. It's just frustrating because watching movies where the protagonist is like a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
Is not like funny to me.
I mean, he gets it together, though.
He does.
It's like
an arc.
Yeah. He works his way up to hero.
But I guess that's probably kind of the point, is seeing his transformation amidst the zombie apocalypse. But it just grinds my gears when we're at the early stage of this character's progression. I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
My God, come on.
No, like all of his interactions with other people are justified. Like, yeah, I understand why Phil's mad. I get why his colleagues don't like him. I get why the girlfriend's mad and breaks up with him. So at his favorite pub, the Winchester, a heartbroken Sean gets drunk with his slacker best friend, Ed. At home, Sean and Ed's roommate, Pete, complains of a bite wound from a mugger and berates Sean into getting his life together.
I'm Pete in this situation.
Like, yeah. Yeah, kind of.
And Ed. Ed just...
You hate Ed.
Yes. Ed makes me want to punch a wall. Or his face. Whichever is closer.
Ed is like a friend that you have in high school, but you like hang out with him even though...
You know you shouldn't.
You know you shouldn't. His life is going nowhere, so therefore your life will go nowhere if you keep hanging out with him. And yeah, Sean just hasn't seen the light yet.
I know. I guess we all have had friends like that before, but on the outside looking in, it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're insufferable? He's insufferable,
yeah.
Stephanie!
He literally has no job. He's just kind of taking up space in their flat and... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I don't even care the no job part, but he's just annoying. He's the type of person who makes jokes when you should not be making a joke.
Ah, yeah.
Or takes zero things seriously.
Do you have an example?
In the movie?
Mm-hmm.
They were not having an argument or something, but like he was like farted or something.
Ah.
And it's like, dude, now's not the time for that.
Yeah, he constantly does fart jokes. When they're trying to have a serious conversation, he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, Sean. And he's like, yeah, I know. Okay. And he's like, no, I'm sorry, Sean. Because he's farted. Like, yeah. That was the thing. I'm like.
Or also.
Man.
When Pete. Okay. So Pete could work on his communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that Ed does not give a shit about what he has to say.
Oh, no. No, for sure.
Like,
he
that's
thinks he's
irritating.
A wanker or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. You're the irritating one.
Right.
Anyways, that was the character I was talking about who just drove me up a wall.
The following day, a zombie apocalypse has overwhelmed London. Sean and Ed don't notice until they encounter two zombies in their garden, whom they beat to death after throwing household implements and Sean's record collection at them.
I will say that earlier in the film, when he first walks to the store, you know, it tracks his movement and he sees people and he's talking to people. They do the same exact shot. I don't know if you noticed when the zombie apocalypse starts. It's the same.
Oh, the same people. He passes the same exact people, except now they're zombies.
Well, he doesn't really pass a whole lot of people, but it's the same tracking shot.
Oh, okay.
It's really cool. I don't know if you noticed it, but I really enjoyed.
I just saw it as that. Very like similar. Like here's the contrast of like here are these people alive mm-hmm. and well. Here's this contrast of there are not as many people,
yeah,
and the people that are here are zombies.
Yeah, and also, you know, just the blood on the window thing where he's getting his ice cream or whatever, or his soda pop.
Right, right.
Didn't even notice it. It was like right in front of his
face.
Like
every once in a while you catch him looking like he's expecting to see something, and he looks like alarmed by whatever he's seeing. Like he sees an old man in the park, and it looks like he's about to eat a pigeon. And he's looking at him weird, like, fuck, is that about to happen kind of uh-huh. thing? But then a bus goes by and then the man's not there anymore. And he just moves on with his day. Like, you know, guess that didn't happen.
I mean, normal things in London, you know?
I guess.
Could happen anywhere.
And also, the thing that annoyed me is like, it was like, you guys don't have any knives? Like, I understand maybe you don't have guns because the laws are different.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have any knives to shoot, to stab?
To shoot? Not I'm going to shoot my knife at you. Load it into the gun.
No, I just mean, especially like when they're hanging in the window, they go outside to meet them where they can just freely get to them.
Yeah.
And in the window, their heads are just like sticking directly through the window. You could just do like a little stabby stab between the eyes or in the temple and be done.
I have a sneaking suspicion those two don't do much cooking. So there's actually a possibility they wouldn't have a knife.
Oh, maybe. I guess that could be.
Or they just didn't think about it, because that's also a possibility.
Records make more
records?
Sense.
I mean, they were just sitting right there, weren't they? Or no?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, no, he just showed up with a record. It was just like...
Yeah, because they had to sort through them.
Yeah, frisbeeing them towards the zombies.
Yes.
Who were barely phased.
Right. They're like, They devise a plan to rescue Liz and Sean's mother, Barbara, and then wait out the crisis at the Winchester. And they're funny. They're like, so we can grab Liz, grab Mom, and come back here, and then everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, well, that won't work. Our house is a mess. So we'll grab Liz, grab Barbara, and then we'll stay at their apartment, and then everything will be fine.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, but their friends are there, or something like that. And then eventually it's like, the Winchester.
Yeah. They keep going through the plan, but they actually show it happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good gag.
Yes. And it was, again, the one place that Liz didn't want to go. So
yeah, of course. I know, right? I'm like, Of course, it was that one place.
Yes. Oh, because right before she breaks up with him, too, like, he fails to make a reservation for a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, like, it fell through. And she's like, oh, you just didn't make the reservation. And he's like, well, no, but we could go somewhere else. And she's like, where do you want to go? And Ed's right behind him, like, with a W, like, the Winchester. Like, and then he says it. Like, obviously, no, that was the wrong choice.
Yeah. He could have said the gas station.
Mm-hmm. And I think she would have been okay.
Yeah. Like, okay. But you said the one, literally the one place on the whole entire planet that would have gotten him in trouble.
Yes.
And he said it. And they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, come on. There's not a, you couldn't even, like, think of any other restaurant nearby.
I was like, there has to be other restaurants. Like, it can't just be, like, a fish place that they couldn't get the reservation for and the Winchester.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only two. Could have gone to that convenience store at the beginning of the movie.
I think she would have been happy with that, yeah.
Just a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. That's all she wanted. She didn't care where.
Poor girl.
I know.
They escape from a now zombified Pete by stealing his car. So, yeah, the bite made him turn into a zombie, and they found him upstairs just kind of, like, standing in the shower, and he was a zombie. So they pick up Philip, who has been bitten, and Barbara. Ed deliberately crashes Pete's car to force the group to use Philip's Jaguar Series 3, which he has always wanted to drive.
They leave the house, and he's like, oh, the car got hit. He's like, we were parked. What do you mean? This douche. Ah!
I know. He is just, he's kind of the worst.
What if that car he wanted to drive didn't have any gas?
Oh, yeah. True.
You were banking on the fact that they filled up that day.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's true.
Right? You put a lot on the line just to try to drive a car.
Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure in an apocalypse situation, like any car.
I would not care.
Any car is good.
It's fine. Yep.
As long as it runs, so.
No. But Ed, being the selfish person he is, crashed. You know what would have even been better? He could have just, because so technically the car that he wanted to drive was closer. Because it was in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just gotten out of that car and went to that car and said, that was closer. And I think they would have been on board with that, too.
Yeah,
maybe. You had to crash the other car.
Right.
Right.
Well, he said that Phil doesn't let anyone touch the car. Okay. That's the thing. So,
well,
I think also Ed has, like, a very childlike mentality. So,
yeah.
You know, he has to make things happen to get his way.
I was going
to
say, yeah, but it's, like, also in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. I'm sure that rule kind of
goes out the window when you're being chased.
And, yeah. I think he would have been okay.
For sure.
Sorry. Just another
no,
Ed thing.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not. Just fictional character got my blood pressure up.
Yeah. No, for me, the one that had to be reasoned with was Barbara. Barbara needed to realize that her husband was going to turn into a zombie and just have to be okay with that.
Just let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, or we'll just there. Let him stay yeah. here kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they fetch Liz and her flatmates, David and Diane, and they do not like Sean.
No, they don't.
And Philip reconciles with Sean right before becoming a zombie.
Sean didn't like Philip.
Mm-hmm.
But then didn't he have, like, a realization that Philip was actually kind of a cool dude?
Yeah, kind of. He, like, apologized to him that he was hard on him as a kid, but his mom married Phil when he was 12.
Mm-hmm.
So he felt like he had to, like, make him a man and stuff like that, so I guess because of the apology, like they were going to be all squared away and then yeah. he just dies. And
just die. He's like, I'm sorry.
And then two minutes later, he's a zombie.
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh, but the funny part that we realize about zombies in the movie is they're almost a little sentient. Like there's some little piece of them that remains
mm-hmm.
from their human life because the whole time they're driving in the car before he dies and becomes a zombie, he's like, stop with that racket. Like, because Ed is driving and playing the music too loud.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all surprised when Phil turns into a zombie. So they all like scatter out of the car and lock Phil inside. But the music is still playing and he leans forward and turns yeah. it down and just goes back to like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, well, kind of still Phil.
Yeah, I mean, zombies don't like loud music probably.
Maybe
it's
not.
It's too much for their brains.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they're forced to abandon the car and their weapons, so they sneak through the neighborhood and briefly into a group led by Sean's friend, Yvonne, with each member somewhat resembling a doppelganger of the other groups.
I don't know why that made me laugh out loud as much as it did.
Yeah.
It was so stupid,
very similar, though.
But it was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
They just passed each other. And they say hi to each other very similarly as the other person.
Right.
It was a good one.
And then Sean defends Barbara from a zombie, which he is forced to impale with a swing ball pole. They were jumping through yards. And the funny thing in Hot Fuzz, too, to compare, is he plays a police officer. And he's kind of like this, like, A-star detective. You know, he's up there. And so they show him jumping over fences in that movie as well. And he just, like, swings his legs over and then he gets to the next fence and does it again. Like, perfect. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he runs to the fence and then runs through it because he can't get over it. So they're all, like, jumping over a fence together. And then they realize Barbara's not with them, his mom. And then they realize in the next yard, she's just laying on the ground.
She's just taking a nap.
Yeah, watching a zombie come at her. And that's when they impale that guy with the swing pole set.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Or a swing pole.
I'm too tired. Just let me take a nappy.
I would have never agreed to this if I would have known it was so much walking.
I know. They were probably better off just staying in that house.
Right, kind of. Honestly, they should have just stayed where Barbara's house was.
Yeah, but they had to get Liz. Do you think their cell phones were not working anymore? I don't remember.
Yeah, I feel like they never pulled out their cell phones after it started.
Everyone meet up at Barbara's.
Right. Party at Barb's.
They were way better there.
And yeah, because I know at the apartment or flat, they were surrounded, so they couldn't really stay. But at the house, they might have been able to. Well, Ed crashed the car, though, and like all these loud noises seemed to attract them. There was more people outside.
Yeah, but if they had planned to stay there, that wouldn't have happened because then
he wouldn't have any need to use the car.
Exactly.
It's all Ed's fault.
In summation, it's Ed.
Yeah. After imitating zombies to bypass a horde and reach the Winchester, which Charlie said that David's imitation of a zombie is much like Nick in the Apocalypse. Just like, meh. Oh. Just barely putting 10% in.
That's
so over it.
I mean, it worked. I mean, how lively are zombies just shambling around, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't gotta be too much. Because if you're too much, they're gonna know.
I guess so.
If you overact.
That's a giveaway.
The theater kids are screwed.
I guess
they'll be like, roar. Roar.
With feeling.
With feeling. Jazzy.
So Sean and Ed argue when Sean answers his phone, and we're like, who are you calling? Yeah. Like, everyone you know is here.
So their phones did work.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, yeah.
They could just, oh my God, they could just been like, let's meet up here.
Right.
Or whatever.
It's or fine. Call the police.
I don't think the police could have really helped.
They did try to call them in the very beginning. They said the line was jammed.
Yeah.
So David panics and breaks a window of the Winchester, and I was like, you just ruined it. You ruined it for everyone.
Shocking.
And it forces Sean to have to lure the horde away by using himself as bait before returning.
He's like, I'm fine. Everything's good.
He's like, I'm tasty. Run away or something like that. What did he say? Something.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
He just said,
And then as the group takes refuge inside the Winchester, Sean discovers that the zombies followed him. And Ed inadvertently attracts them by playing on the pub slot machine. Again, Ed's fault.
Strike 50 with this guy.
While fighting the pub's zombified owner, Sean discovers that the Winchester rifle above the bar is functional, something he had previously debated with Ed. Barbara reveals she was bitten and dies after giving Liz and Sean's relationship her approval.
Oh, I have a story about her arm. The first time I saw this movie, or one of the first times I saw this movie, when she, like, revealed the chunk in her arm, like, missing, I almost passed out.
That was gross.
I was almost on the ground. She pulls out, like, the napkin or something she shoved.
Mm-hmm. It's a big bite.
I was almost on the ground. And I knew it was coming up, and I was, like, watching it, like, through my fingers. But I was fine.
Oh, okay.
That was my story, but this movie almost made me pass out.
Really?
On the ground. Yes.
I don't know. It didn't bother me. But.
Something about that, because it's not like that crazy. Like, there was way more gore earlier.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But something about the napkin.
I guess.
Or whatever she has shoved in there.
Yeah, she has like a tissue in her sleeve covering it.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was it. That was just like, queasy. Made me queasy.
For sure. David attempts to shoot Barbara, but Sean stops him, accusing David of hating him and being in love with Liz. And then you're like, the more you see it, the more you're like, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of fairly obvious the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. David denies this, but Diane admits she knows it is true. Barbara becomes a zombie, forcing a distraught Sean to shoot her. And further fighting ensues after David gives his unprompted opinion that Sean was doing the right thing. Yeah, so they fight amongst themselves, and the zombies end up breaking into the pub and pull David out of the window, eating him alive.
That was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tears him apart and into his belly.
Into his belly. Like, they're trying to pull him back, and they just have legs.
No legs. And they're still, like, after that happens, they're still like, David!
David, no!
Come back!
Yeah, like, and then Diane, like, in a fit of rage or emotional trauma or something, she rushes into the horde of zombies to fight for David with his own leg.
No! Girl, let it go.
Yeah.
He's gone.
But that allows the horde to enter the pub.
Thanks, Diane.
Yeah. The zombified Pete reappears and is shot by Sean after biting Ed. Sean, Liz, and Ed take cover behind the bar. Sean sets the bar on fire with alcohol and matches to serve as a barrier, which also causes shotgun shells left on the bar to explode and kill several zombies.
Oopsies.
Oopsie.
Yeah, so Ed was, you said Ed was bit. Yeah, he.
Yes.
At this time.
Yeah, Pete bit him along with somebody else. I think it was one of the bar owners as well.
Like,
they did like a double bite.
Goodbye.
You're like, good riddance.
Kind of.
The three take refuge in the cellar where they realize they only have two bullets left. Sean and Liz, in a dark moment, contemplate suicide while Ed volunteers to be basically eaten alive by the zombies. Upon discovering a small lift for kegs that opens onto the street, Sean and Liz exit the pub while Ed buys them time by staying behind with the rifle. Right as soon as they get at street level, Yvonne arrives with the British Army, who gunned down the zombies before taking Sean and Liz to safety.
I was like, what is happening?
I know. I was like, who are you? What, like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
I was like, I thought we couldn't connect with anybody, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. So 6 months later, civilization has returned to normal, but with the added bonus that the surviving zombies are now used for free labor and entertainment.
That was good. I like that.
Yes, I thought that was a very useful way. Well, yeah, otherwise you just have like a surplus of bodies to get rid of.
Yeah, so might as well capitalize.
Liz has moved in with Sean, who keeps the now zombified Ed chained up in his garden shed. The two play video games together.
How cute.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it. He's still around.
Yeah, I guess so. And even tries to bite him, and he's like, nah, Ed, don't. We're doing this. And he's like, okay.
I kind of like that they have a little bit more personality.
Yeah, I do too. Kind of. But I think it makes it sadder that they die. But
It's fine.
Also, something I had to look up too. I was pretty convinced that Diane died when she runs into the horde.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Charlie about it because he mentioned that she lives. And I was like,
what?
I never saw her again at the end.
Okay.
And apparently, if you look it up, it says in, like, one of the end credit scenes, I guess, that it flashes back to her, and she's just in a tree holding David's leg, like, hello?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't watch that.
I didn't either. I guess that's what at least it says on Google.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, good for her. I don't know how she made it through with just someone's leg, but
badass bitch, what can I say?
Yeah, but that's the end.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a good time. It's a good movie.
Yes. Fun for all. Do you want to hear about preparing for a zombie apocalypse and business continuity? Oddly enough.
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
Okay. So the reason business continuity is in here is because our one friend, Kat, who I work in the same place as, but I'll just admit where it is. It's a financial institution, but I'll give no other details there. Our friend Kat is really into business continuity, which sounds kind of boring on the outside because it's typically like handling power outages. You know, like this department came into play a lot during COVID, obviously, because that was something major, a pandemic, obviously.
Wait, what? That was a big thing?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Never heard of it.
But previous to the pandemic, she actually shadowed with this team that is only made up of about four people. And whenever something goes wrong, they refer to them for advice on how to get past whatever is going on. I did get a statement from her, which I found really interesting.
A statement.
A little statement.
From a real life person.
Yes. And she said, keep in mind, this was pre-pandemic, so there probably have been changes placed since then. This was before everyone had remote capabilities for work, so there are some really dumb things. Like if our site was unavailable, they were going to cart us to another major city 2.5 hours away and put employees up in hotels. I really questioned that for cost reasons alone. She said, just get everyone laptops, and do they listen to me? No, but then COVID happened, and psych, everyone should have had laptops. Prior to COVID, most people just thought corporate disaster preparedness is just fire drills. But some of it's really wild. The active shooter preparedness talks about wound packing and when you should fight back as a last resort if you're probably going to die anyway, because America. And I can attest to that. We do have like a video that we watch for an active shooter.
Alice training.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. I hate it.
I feel like everyone goes
in a corporate
that.
Setting now has it. Yeah. That's sad. But one of the things that blew my mind, like her quote, was the staff assessment for mass casualty events. Like, it sounds obvious that you would need those things, but it just was weirdly blunt about it. It literally had tracking for how many missing, how many still available, and what locations were still operational. But the people missing line, maybe dead, maybe not, we're not saying just yet, but they are gone. They are gone, gone.
Oh, no!
There were subcategories for types of injuries, too. And what the minimum number of survivors was needed to keep a department operating. And I was just kind of like astounded that they used the word survivors, because that kind of makes it sound like I lost 50 of my coworkers today, but, you know, I'm a survivor, so now I got to keep going.
I got to keep working at this job.
Right.
If 50 people are dying, I don't know that your company is...
Okay.
Because that sounds like a small piece of a bigger issue.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting to compare it to this, just on a smaller scale, I guess, for zombie apocalypse preparedness. But they do have as simple as a power outage to like an apocalypse situation, all like documented, like what would they do in this case? And I always think it's funny that there is an apocalypse book for what to do, because... how many people are going to keep working?
And then, right. Oh, my God. The world is ending, but I have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane.
Right? It's just upsetting. The survivor thing, too, really bothers me.
I mean, it makes sense. What's another word we could use? Living individual.
I guess, but I think it would be phrased differently if it was implied that, you know, all right, we lost a lot of people. And then in a month, we'll come back, and it would be like the remaining employees. But to say survivor sounds like, you know, it happened today or it happened the day before.
Yeah. It's one of those things that makes sense, but it's just so jarring to hear.
Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was a fun thing, and she's really interested in this, so I let her do her own little quote. Now getting down to actually preparing for a zombie apocalypse. You know, the same.
Right. You never know. You just never know.
It may seem like a scenario straight out of fiction, but taking practical steps can help ensure readiness for a wide range of emergencies. Here's a comprehensive guide on how to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. So, one would be create an emergency plan, develop a family or household emergency plan outlining escape routes, meeting points, and communication methods. Establish roles and responsibilities for each family member, such as gathering supplies, securing the home, or contacting emergency services. Assuming you have them.
Yeah, right. If you have it available.
Yes. If you don't have them, I guess forget about that.
Yes, scratch that.
Practice drills regularly to ensure everyone knows what to do in case of an emergency.
I just imagine. So I live in an apartment complex. People are like looking out the window of me, like diving out of the window and like rolling out and like
practicing
survival
with a
gear.
Yeah. Practicing with like a water gun.
Yeah. It'll be like, what the hell is he doing?
Build a survival kit. Assemble a survival kit containing essential supplies such as non-perishable food, water, first aid supplies, medications, flashlights, batteries, multi-tool, and a battery-powered or hand crank radio.
We have a go bag.
I know. I do not. And I just don't know if I will ever get one.
You should probably. Just in case. We have a weapon. Like it's like a wooden stick. Like a little...
A wooden stick?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the latest ones.
Oh, okay.
I think we have an axe in there. Oh. It's great. You never know.
I mean, I guess. I mean, Charlie and I just aren't outdoorsy, so I guess we just, like, would sit inside and just be like, hope it doesn't come in here.
Right. I was going to say, you might not have a choice, so.
Yeah. I don't know. We're go-getters in the moment. Planning ahead isn't for us.
Oh, my God.
I will take no advice from this.
So despite Stephanie putting this together, she's not going to take a single takeaway after this recording.
Well, yeah, I'm helping others.
Oh, okay. Do as I say, not as I do.
Uh-huh.
Classic.
Include items specific to a zombie apocalypse scenario, such as sturdy clothes, gloves, duct tape, rope, and a crowbar for barricading or self-defense. Secure your home. Reinforce doors, windows, or other entry points to deter potential intruders, whether they be zombies or looters. Stockpile supplies and fortify your home to create a safe and defensible shelter. I just imagine, like, you're like, better prepare. And then you just stack all of your, like, dry goods in a pile in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah. Consider installing security measures such as motion sensor lights or surveillance cameras. I think, honestly, now that they've mentioned that, I would do what they did for The Last of Us. That one guy did. So the gay couple.
Oh, Bill?
What his name is. Yes, Bill.
Bill.
Bill had it all figured out.
He had
a whole town. Yeah, he saw a suburb. He's like, this is my house now.
So
I'm going to go to Home Depot and figure this out.
That requires planning, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if I was going to do something along that line, I'd go all out. But it would probably be the day it happened.
Gotta start planning my new town.
Yes, exactly.
My booby trap town. You went from, we're not a planner, to booby trapping.
I said, in the moment, we're go-getters. Like, you
know.
Guys will be comfy in your little sleeping bags in the woods, but I'll be living in the White House or something.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
You'll be the queen of whatever you, like, stake. Like
a junkyard, probably.
The junk queen. Mr. and Mrs. Trash.
For sure. Yeah, that sounds like us. Identify potential weaknesses in your home's defense and take steps to address them, such as reinforcing weak points in doors or windows. Stay informed about potential threats and developments through reliable sources of information, such as emergency alerts, news updates, or government announcements. And I feel like that's the most important because, you know, in these situations, you see, at least in film, people are making a lot of life or death decisions. So if you find out, turns out everyone's going to be okay right before you're about to shoot someone you love.
Yeah, right.
That might stop things.
Oh, that just made me think of that one movie that I won't spoil on the podcast, but have you ever seen The Mist?
No.
Okay, well, perhaps we'll have to watch it for the podcast. But the ending, oh my God. Oh my. If you know, you know.
I think it is a common trope, though. Well, I don't know The Mist, obviously, but, you know, being pretty much out of the woods and then the person's just not aware and then something bad happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. So monitor local authorities' instructions and follow evacuation orders to other directives as necessary. Maintain communication with friends and family and neighbors to share information and support each other during emergencies. You'll want to stay physically fit.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. See, again, we're not going to be prepared. Learn survival skills like fire starting, foraging for food. Familiarize yourself with weapons, self-defense. Prioritize non-lethal options in case, you know, lethal has to be your last resort.
I'm killing everybody.
Right.
If you're in my way, you're dead.
And it's important to hook up with alliances that are like-minded individuals who share similar preparedness goals.
This is my alliance. You're being voted out.
Right?
That's my way
this is
of
survivor.
Execution.
That's what you would be doing in the apocalypse. You're playing your own survivor the whole time.
What else is there to do?
Uh-huh.
Who's being voted off the compound?
Jeremiah took too much pudding this week. You are gone.
We have confessionals. Oh, yeah. He's so annoying. I think I'm going to vote him out this week.
Yeah.
I would run my society like Survivor.
You would, for sure. Remain flexible and adaptive to, like, changing your plans if something doesn't work out. And remember, while preparing for a zombie apocalypse may seem far-fetched, many of the same principles apply to more realistic emergencies, such as natural disasters and civil unrest. By taking proactive steps to prepare for a wide range of scenarios, you can increase your chances of survival and protect yourself and your loved ones during challenging times. This has been a PSA.
Yeah, all right. 13 Degrees of Screams, the new survival channel.
Yes.
We're just going to cover survival tips going forward. That's actually the new podcast.
Oh, fun.
Yay, thank you for that valuable information that we will not follow.
Right. Well, I'm not going to follow. You'll be like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm going to do.
Let's go. Yeah, I know. Let me pull. I see that the zombies are coming. I'm like, I got to pull up our episode on Shaun of the Dead. I got to listen to that really quick.
Got to skip past the plot. I need to get to the important stuff.
Yeah, just the topic. Thank you for listening. If you join the show and listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, giving us a 5-star rating is super helpful, and we always appreciate it.
You can find us on social media using 13 Degrees of Screams.
This has been 13 Degrees of Screams, and we will see you next week.
Goodness gracious, I can't seem to stop calling it off.
What is that? What song is that?
That's Ellie Goulding.
Oh, I like Ellie Goulding.
Yeah.
We can do the lights.
And we're going to let it burn, 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 burn. Going to let it burn, 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 burn. It's very easy because you know all the words.
Burn, going to let it burn, burn, burn. It makes sense in context.
Yes, apocalypse.
Burn,
burn, burn, burn.
I'm stupid.